Good morning, everyone. It is, what's the date?
19th.
It is February 19th, 2023.
Oh, whoops.
February 17th, 2023, but it's a couple days, give or take, right? Just after 10 a.m., this is a work session on the MDU Applied Blockchain Electric Service Agreement, and it's case number PU-22-371. I'm joined by Commissioners Haugenhofer and Fedorchak, and so we have a quorum. I don't have any opening comments. Do you, Commissioner Fedorchak?
I do not.
And then Commissioner Haugenhofer, I'll turn it over to you for opening comments and then just move into the case.
Okay. Thank you so much, Randy. Like Commissioner Christman said, this is a work session on the rate case, so I have no opening comments, so I'm going to turn it over to staff.
Sure. Thank you, Commissioners. We requested this work session largely due to the fact that we have this this open case 22371 related to the electric service agreement between Applied Blockchain and Montana Dakota Utilities. We have interveners in this case. I think advocacy is also looking at taking a position, possibly moving forward. And but we do have a customer who is looking to begin operating under a rate, whether it's the ESA or the standard rate. And we thought it would be good to have a discussion prior to that occurring to decide how we would like to move forward procedurally with this case, and to just lay out a few different options, and we can get a little, answer some questions after that and dig in a little bit more into the different options. The three that really I discussed with Victor would probably be providing a temporary approval of the electric service agreement, and then set aside some regulatory accounting requirements so that it's being tracked, and there would be subsequent refunds once a final decision is made if there are changes to the ESA. The other option would be to let the Applied Blockchain or Applied Digital move forward under the standard rates, which would be more expensive for them on the interim with regulatory accounting as well, to move forward. And subsequently at a final decision, we would probably issue refunds. So it would essentially operate similar in both those first two options as similar to how we operate interim rates. And the final option would be one of the two and rolling this into a rate case as opposed to carrying this forward as a separate proceeding. I spoke with Victor, and I know there is interest in, probably rolling this into the rate case from Marathon, the intervener. But administratively, it would be more simple to address this separately in front of the commission as its own issue.
So let me repeat back to the last option you provided to me, Jack, is saying that this rate case for Applied Blockchain we would handle. You're recommending we handle separately. Yep.
Sure.
Yep.
That's right.
The third option of rolling it into a rate case, is that exclusive from the others, or if we went one of the previous two options, which seemed kind of similar to me, wouldn't the end result of that on the company potentially be a part of the next rate case anyway?
I'm not sure if I fully understood the question, but either option one or two of the temporary approval of the ESA with regulatory accounting, or the second one where they go into the standard rates, would be involved in that third option rolling into a rate case. And to an extent, rates are not, they're not exclusive from each other. I mean, the rate case as well as this are going to have impact on rates. In fact, I had some discussion with all the parties as well that to a degree, depending on the timing, we may issue a joint order addressing all of this at once. That's a possibility. But it really depends on the fluidity of the situation, the arguments being presented, and how this moves forward. So I'd like to tell you exactly how it's going to move forward, but I'm not fully aware of all the arguments and all the things we'll be looking at. There are certain aspects that are that are may complicate things to a degree.
Well, I was, I have to admit, I hadn't considered the rate case impacts until I read Marathon's filing. And their, you note that it, that certain rates, terms, and conditions in the blockchain agreement would have an impact on rates, revenues, and some of the assumptions of the rate case. I was curious, they said, this is a Marathon. If the commission determines that the two proceedings should not be consolidated, it may be appropriate for the commission to make a determination in this proceeding that certain rates, terms, and conditions in the blockchain agreement are subject to the outcome of the rate case, or that MDU's revenue in the rate case should not be limited to the amount approved in this proceeding if, after review in the context of MDU's rate case, it's determined that the rates are not just and reasonable. So what does that, tell me what that means.
So there's a great deal of trade secret information within this, but I think I can answer it without getting into that. So if you want to think about it like this, there's a certain revenue expectation and expense expectation with this load.
Yep.
The intervener in that case is simply saying we should be able to consider those revenues and expenses within that rate case, or some, or at least the difference between the two potentially as offsetting mm-hmm. a portion of that rate case. That's essentially what that, how right. to comprehend what they're saying there.
I mean, that does seem important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So how does what you guys are recommending jive with that?
I don't think that, I think that regardless of how this moves forward, neither of these will be moving forward in a vacuum from each other. I mean, there won't be full separation of these issues. To a degree, again, it depends on how they kind of interact as well. If we are able to come to agreement between the parties moving forward quickly, maybe even get to a hearing very quickly, again, it depends on our schedules. As you guys know how difficult it is to even get a single date set aside for a hearing mm-hmm. for the next, I mean, through May, the way it's looking right now, it's pretty difficult. If we are able to actually resolve a lot of these ahead of time, it's very simple then to actually just allow these to be addressed in the subsequent rate case. However, to the extent that the rate case actually...
What would be addressed when you say that, Jack? I mean, if we settle on them, then what's left to address?
So in the rate case? there's a couple of pieces at play here. There's the rate itself, and then there is that kind of the differential between the revenues and the expenses.
Okay.
So a theoretical margin. Mm-hmm. That could be used to reduce the rate, potentially be used to reduce the rate increase request.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
Could right. we still do that? Like, this can feed into the rate case no matter what, is what you're saying.
If this happens fast enough and if the parties are generally able to settle the issues or we are able to litigate the issues fast enough, we would be able to just roll these forward into the rate case.
I see.
To a degree, that actually might complicate things as well, because we aren't talking about small sums of money, though. These are rate case values of dollars mm-hmm. by itself. If it complicates things in the subsequent rate case, we might actually have to then push back the rate case formal hearing as well, just so that we can get additional testimony in. So, there are a number of different ways that this can roll out. What we have right now moving forward is what we're really looking at is getting the LJ, getting everyone moving forward as quick as we can. Probably have a couple of pre-hearing conferences to discuss it with the ALJ and trying to get some dates and seeing where the parties are at for providing testimony and moving forward in this proceeding. But on that interim basis, how we actually want to treat this as well.
So before I get that far, just for clarification, has Marathon been granted intervener status yet?
No, I was planning on providing an order on the next agenda, which I have not finished up to get to all of you yet, though granting them intervener status.
Okay. And that is the direction you're proposing to do an order?
Yes. Yeah, for the intervener status for Marathon in this case, yes.
And the other two are approved?
The other two...
Interveners?
Marathon's the only intervener in this, right. This proceeding.
Oh, on this, the blockchain.
Yeah, we'll have the company as well as probably advocacy staff is probably going to be in the situation as well on this one.
So we have to deal with the interim.
Yeah. So the most important thing
is... we're going to move ahead procedurally.
Right.
Yes.
On a permanence decision on the blockchain ESA. Yeah,
right, and the most important part is how we want to treat it on the interim at this point, because I feel like we'll be trying to hit a moving target in the next 3 to 4 weeks procedurally, and depending on how that rolls out.
Right. What's the first one? Approve the...
Electric service agreement.
Approve it as is, and then...
Yep. On the interim with regulatory accounting, so the costs... the margins will be, there'll be accounting for that to account for whatever those costs or overruns or underruns would be, and subsequently there would be a refund at the end of the interim period. Similar just like a rate case.
Yeah. Obviously that's what the company and blockchain would prefer versus the regular rates. What's the risk of the first, of doing the approving this?
Since we would be doing it on an interim basis, I think there would be a minimal risk in approving it in such a manner, as long as we word it properly, which we would make sure we do, that regulatory accounting treatment subject to refund or additional charges, depending on how the commission decides what the appropriate rate should be. I would say it seems more risky to force them into using a standard rate schedule, because that has the potential impact of impacting the allocators for the rest of the customers and system.
Yeah.
So this moves forward and the rate case occurs first. We'll be subsequently looking at a lot of the rate case, the allocators subsequent to the rate case as it relates to this ESA.
I think we need to do our best to, be thorough and diligent, but try to have this hearing before the rate case.
Or at least not make a decision. So some optionality I've been kind of trying to think through. So if we approve this on an interim basis, we could try to find some sort of hearing date prior to the rate case hearing date, which would be challenging at best. But even if we would hold it some period after the rate case hearing, it's not likely that we're going to have the hearing and make a decision within a week or two on the full rate case.
Right.
So even if this hearing happened after that, provided that the decision on either the rate case or the package of the two, however the commission decides, happens either simultaneously or the rate case after this case.
Unless some schedules have changed, my recollection is that it's almost harder finding a hearing, an open date, shortly after the rate case than it is shortly before.
I would agree. I've done some preliminary review of schedules, and I would agree.
Are we blocking out lots of days because of the legislature between now and then?
No, I just think our May schedule is full.
May, yeah.
Yep.
May definitely is.
But what about April?
I know we were judging this partially based upon the difficulty we had getting the summit hearing scheduled. We send out and we work through all three of your schedules as well as the
ASA's.
Well,
I'm not in summit.
Sorry.
You can't blame me on that. two
commissioners. two commissioners and a commish. And
in the
ALJ. Yeah.
The judge had some commitments that.
Okay.
A big block of time, yeah.
Right.
I'm trying to think of April. Offhand, April, I don't think it's horrible for me, but maybe it is for you guys.
Looking at a 1 day.
Yeah, I think 1 day would probably be adequate. But we'd also need enough time to review the record and issue an order prior to the rate case as well. Which, again, to even be able to bring that in the rate case, we'd have to have the decision out weeks before the rate case if people are going to incorporate that data into the subsequent case at the minimum.
If we were to approve this on an interim basis with the proper accounting at the meeting next Wednesday, how long? long of notice do we need? When is the start point of when we can schedule a hearing?
If all the parties are agreeable to it, we can do it on a very short basis. But even with that occurring, the parties would still like to do data requests on this and be looking into this. It isn't just, it happens, we have a position.
Right.
It happens, we need to develop testimony and do a little bit of discovery first. So it depends on how quickly everyone responds to the data request. It depends on how quickly people can draft up the testimony, and it depends on ultimately where the issues fall, whether everyone is, you know, there have been times where we took up an advocacy position, for example, and then we looked into it. We found that we were actually very close to where the initial applications were, and then there wasn't as much to really discuss or move forward on. But you don't always know until you fully do an evaluation on it. But I know staff would like to move forward quickly if we can. But
I'm comfortable with moving forward with this on the interim basis.
Okay.
And trying to expedite a hearing.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do what we can on that. On the other front, on next Wednesday, would the commission be agreeable to us issuing an order giving interim approval of the ESA subject to refund and regulatory accounting?
Did you say would we be in favor of that or object to it? I don't know how to answer you.
Agreeable to issuing an order to that extent.
I am okay. Too.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll get I've started working on an order, so Jack and I will work it back and forth today and get it out to you hopefully by the end of the day.
Yeah. We're trying to get ahead of the ball on that one.
Okay. And then if it's possible to find a hearing date to have that on the calendar also for schedule.
Yep, so I'll start circulating an email to the parties today on some dates in the April time frame with backup dates in May.
Do we have to wait till April? Can it, how fast could it move if we found a date?
I think, kind of like Jack said, it's largely dependent on the parties and what they feel like, the amount of time that they need to properly develop the issues and their data requests. So, I mean, at minimum, you know, a data request is 2 weeks that a company gets to respond. So, you know, that's kind of the absolute bare minimum is, I would say, a month. You
Six
know,
weeks.
Yeah. That's kind of where my head is like, you know, mid-April.
Well, that's way longer than that. 6 weeks from now, we could
is
do
it?
The end of March. The last week of March would be 6 weeks.
Okay. So just sometime in April.
Maybe they'd be agreeable to expediting that.
Yeah, I think to the extent that they're interested in having the results of this included in the rate case, I think they would be likely interested in shortening up the time frame that they have for review.
At this point, would you envision this being a full-day hearing, or is this more likely to be a half-a-day hearing? Or?
I mean, if they come in with a settlement, then, I mean, this could be done in a couple of hours. I would, if they end up not being able to come to an agreement prior to the hearing date, it's, I would say, 4 to 6 hours.
It depends on if it's fully litigated or not. With that many parties involved, I guess three in this case, if it's fully litigated on multiple issues that could be presented in this, it could be a pretty long day hearing. If it really comes down to just one or two small disagreements, not address it, it could be short.
Because I will say, when it came to scheduling summit that we're kind of comparing to, one of the things was when we're out on the road like that, you can't do something else here that day. And so Fridays we're out because that's the earliest we can get our legislative schedule from legislative council. And we need it to plan for the next week. And so we had all of our Fridays blocked out. Well, if it's what it takes to get this date, maybe we have to have our legislative discussion early in the morning or toward evening.
Yeah, we don't need to block a whole day off for that legislative discussion. Because later
right.
in the session, it's only been taking us like, you know, 15 to 30 minutes.
But we did for Summit because we're going to be out of town.
Right.
Doing something else here. So
sure.
That opens up a few days, probably.
Could also have it Monday or, you know, we could do it, just send out the meeting schedule. So there's other options for that, I think.
I'd like to see late March if we could pull it off. If the companies are agreeable and staff.
Everybody looks stoic.
Anything else?
No, thank you for your time. We'll be working on this.
Do you want to look at tentative dates, or do you want to discuss it next week for scheduling?
I think I'll be talking with the Office of the Administrative Hearings probably in the next couple of days, and then maybe we can put this on scheduling in the next regular meeting on Wednesday. Okay. That would be a good time for that, where we could maybe bring it full circle.
Okay.
Yep. Pamela can access our calendars to see in one spell swoop what's available and isn't.
Okay.
From our standpoint, so that makes that easier.
It does.
Anything else for the work session?
Nope. Thank you for your work.
We are closed. Thank you, everyone.